The new research project, led by a UW graduate student, looks to bring together tribal and university researchers on the issue of wild rice protection and restoration. Sarah Dance is a second-year PhD student who studies environmental chemistry and technology in the College of Engineering at UW-Madison. She's a member of the Lumbee Tribe of North Carolina and recently received a Baldwin, Wisconsin Idea Grant to support her work. She recently spoke with Ideas Network producer Chris Molina about the project.
So can you start by talking about the importance of wild rice to the tribes that settled here in the Midwest so many years ago?
Yeah, so wild rice, or Manoman in Ojibwe, is an incredibly important cultural and ecological resource in the Great Lakes region. For many of the tribes, it's considered to be a sacred gift from the creator. For the Menominee particularly, their name actually means the wild rice people. And it's not just the Ojibwe and Menominee. There are a lot of other nomadic tribes or other tribes in the region that find it really important. It's a really important income source. Many of the tribes actually harvest the rice and sell it themselves. And as far as the ecological significance, it's actually our only emergent aquatic grass that's native to the region. So it has a really important niche in the environment.
So what can you tell us about the current state of wild rice in Wisconsin, as well as the conditions needed to grow it?
Yeah, absolutely. So over the past 100 years, we've seen a 32% decline in watersheds across Minnesota and Wisconsin. And that's mostly been located in the southern portion of Wisconsin. So we've seen dramatic declines over the past 100 years. And I've heard recently from natural resource managers in the region that we've seen even more significant declines in the last few years. So it's kind of happening at this really rapid pace. The conditions that we need, it needs to be at a certain water level. If the water level goes too high or too low, then the rice won't be able to survive. Some other conditions, it needs relatively low levels of sulfate in the overlying water in order to grow properly. It needs the right amount of nutrients without having to compete with native or invasive species that may do better under elevated nutrient concentrations. And beyond that, yeah, it also needs enough time for the overlying water to be frozen above the seeds. So in a warming climate, it is struggling in southern Wisconsin.
You mentioned a warming climate. Is climate change considered to be one of the reasons that we've seen such a decline? Or are there other factors that are playing in as well?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Climate change is one of the major contributors to the decline of wild rice. And to say that, though, put it into a black box. It is the elevated temperatures, the increased severity and number of storms in the region, as well as, you know, increased water temperatures, the spread of invasive species that are proliferate in these kind of conditions that are outcompeting the rice itself.
So now that we have that backdrop in place, let's talk about this project that you're going to be working on. Talk about where the idea came from and why this is something that you really wanted to pursue.
Yeah, so as an undergraduate, I did some research with my own tribe and a professor from my tribe, and we were able to work with the community to look at the impacts of Hurricane Matthew on our sacred Lumbee River. And through that process, I realized that I really wanted to work with Native communities to look at issues that were important to Native peoples in the context of environmental science. So when I came here, I learned about wild rice, some of the challenges with it, and it seemed like a perfect fit. So through working as a student assistant with Wisconsin Sea Grant, working on their Manoman Education and Outreach Toolkit project, I was able to see how they made connections throughout the state in ways that were equitable, in ways that were appropriate, and approached the tribes and individuals that were interested in their project and had the time and resources to work with us. So through that, I was able to build that skill set, and then I went out and made some partners throughout the state where we could look at some of the conditions that they thought were impacting their wild rice in their local area.
And talk about what kind of research you'll actually be doing, the testing that you're already doing, and what you've got coming up in the future.
Yeah, so the project I'm particularly working at right now, I'm actually growing some Manoman. I apologize for going between rice and Manoman. I'm actually growing it in buckets with the sediment and surface water from Aliquash Lake, and it's in northern Wisconsin. And when I have the buckets, I have several that are controlled, so I won't change any of the conditions with the rice that I've planted. And then the other half of them, I've actually changed the overlying water conditions to be consistent with waters that are impacted by sulfide mining in the region. So I'm looking at the difference between how the rice survives and propagates in normal conditions and in conditions that are impacted by sulfide mining.
And so how much time needs to go by before you'll actually have concrete data from that?
Yeah, and I think that, and that's kind of, it's a little complicated with getting the data, publishing it, and then, you know, in the future, we'll have to work with tribes to decide how we'll actually be disseminating that data. It might come that we work out an agreement where just the tribes have that data themselves, and then they're allowed to work from there. For if it does go forward that we can release it to the public, it'll probably be about 1 to 2 years before we have results that we are able to publish and share with the public.
We're talking right now with Sarah Dance. She is a PhD student studying environmental chemistry and technology in the College of Engineering at UW-Madison. And Sarah, part of this project for you was bringing together the resources of the state's tribes and then bringing together the resources of the universities here in Wisconsin. Talk about why forging that partnership is an important part of all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, tribes and tribal people are incredibly capable to look at these water quality and sediment quality issues that are impacting rice. The part that I saw that a connection could be made was allowing the tribes to use the wealth of resources that we have at the university to investigate the things that were important to them. Because ultimately, even if rice is incredibly important to the tribes, it actually plays a role in the culture of the state and all of the peoples here. And as it's such an important ecological resource, I feel like it's very important that we have this multi-level effort to investigate the impacts with many different kinds of resources, many different diverse perspectives, and that includes from the tribes and research professors and graduate students.
And you mentioned graduate students. You're going to be working with other students on this research going forward, and it sounded like a big important aspect for you was getting other Native American students involved. Can you talk about how you're doing that?
Yeah, so there's actually only less than 5 Native American students in the engineering department in the graduate school that I know of, at least. So we have very poor representation in STEM, and that's actually even worse at this university. So that has been a challenge to find students, other Native students in the university that this is important to. So a large part of my work is creating a space and funding opportunities for other students, Native students, to come in and do this research if it's important to them and something that they would like to pursue.
Yeah, as part of this, you know, you want to show Native American students, prospective engineering students, that, hey, there's actually like a real application here, and, you know, trying to get more people just coming into these programs. Is that part of the overall goal then?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's touching on the cultural relevancy of the work. It's in environmental science, we study, as scientists, we make decisions about the kind of things that we study. We make value judgments. And Native people have a different set of values often than, you know, white scientists or majority represented scientists. And we often don't see opportunities within environmental science or environmental engineering to pursue looking at the resources or dynamics of the environment that are important to us and our culture.
So going back to your project, give us a little bit more information about the timeline. It sounds like this is going to go for a couple of growing seasons. How long will this entire project take?
So right now the project has a timeline of 2.5 to 3 years. Hopefully we can get it going. It goes well enough that it can move forward. We can find more funding in the future. We can work with more people. And then hopefully we can actually hand off the series of experiments and the resources to the tribes themselves if they decide that that was something they want to keep in-house.
Sure. And is that a way of measuring success of the project if this can keep going long after your involvement might be done with it?
Yes, that would be that would be the ideal goal. That even if that ends with the tribes having those resources and continuing this research with in whatever capacity they feel is appropriate with the university, or and having a series of graduate students, undergraduate students, professors that are interested in the work and want to continue it.
And are you hoping there's room for future collaboration between the university and the tribes? And if so, where do you hope that collaboration might happen?
Yeah, so I really do hope that there's collaboration in the future, but I would definitely push for it to be equitable. There have been collaborations in the past between this university and then the University of Minnesota with the Minnesota tribes that research and collaborations have not been equitable, and that has left a lot of negative tensions, a lot of negative impacts on the Native peoples. So moving forward, I do want to see collaborations, but I want to see people basing them in respectful, equitable research practices.
So, Sarah, if people want more information about the work that you're doing, where can they go to find more information?
So this isn't necessarily about the work I'm doing, but it is about Monomin itself. And it's a resource made by Native people for other Native people and the general public. And it's called theways.org, theways.org. And that's a really important resource so you can hear from the people themselves that are impacted by this problem how important this resource is to them.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Sarah Dance is a second-year PhD student who studies environmental chemistry and technology in the College of Engineering at UW-Madison. She spoke with Ideas Network producer Chris Molina about her project to protect and restore Wisconsin's wild rice.